Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Should have told you by now.
We're back. And it is 12 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ron Peterson's here, too, because he's got some important things to talk to us about. Ron is the president of Three Arrows Capital, which is an investment banking firm in beautiful downtown Bethesda, Maryland, which is hard by to our nation's capital, which is where I am today, broadcasting from the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. And Ron is the author of a new book, and I'm excited to tell you about, because I think this is going to be an important book for small business owners. And it's titled, When Venture Capitalists Say No. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, howdy, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you on the show. And, Ron, your message is so important. And you say it, you've said it as well as anybody, if not better than anybody that I've seen in your book. The thing that I believe in the 21st century, you probably heard me say before that the 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. The 20th century was a century of the major corporation, but this is our century, and more in this century, we're going to be called on to play a larger role in the overall economy. We're no longer going to be mom and pops in backwater communities, you know, just supporting big companies. We're going to play a vital role. We're going to be partners with these big companies. We already are, but that's going to take a whole new approach to capitalization that we're not as familiar with, and we're going to have to learn how to do that, aren't we?
Well, true, Jim, and you're right on trend. Every day, the power of small business comes home to us more and more. I think you pointed out before that during the decade of the 90s, with the roaring stock markets, low unemployment, the Fortune 500 actually laid off people, so yeah. The whole engine there was small business. But you read the newspapers today, Jim, and the headlines are venture capital is less and less available. So you talk to the typical entrepreneur, and they're thinking, well, shucks, the financing isn't out there anyway, so what should I do? And the truth is, venture capital rarely ever goes into startups.
Yeah.
So the whole thought about creative financing has to be a lot more fervent in the minds of an entrepreneur today. Most entrepreneurs have no idea about how many different sources of capital there are out there or the tactics you have to get them.
Especially the creative ways you've got to put things together. They typically will just have one thing in mind. I want to get a bank loan, or I want to get investment capital, or you know, I want you to give me the money, and I'll give you some stock. And they don't realize that the deals that are actually put together are more complicated than that.
Oh, no question. One of the richest people in the world, a fellow with a net worth of $3 billion, started his company by a barter agreement with North Carolina State University.
Yeah.
And you take Larry Ellison, who was bumping up against Bill Gates a few years ago as the richest person in the world, started his company, Oracle, with $6,000 and a consulting arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be looking at many different ways of finding money. And I was just reading a book, Seabiscuit, with the movie coming out shortly. It's Laura Hillebrand's book, and she notes the Santa Anita racetrack was financed and built in the depths of the Depression. And it was by a guy who was flat broke, Doc Strub. Not a penny to his name, but a dream for that racetrack. And he knocked on doors of wealthy Californians.
Mm-hmm.
He was rejected most of the time, Jim. But eventually Charles Howard, a horseman, invited him in, invested, and brought along other horse people like Bing Crosby. I think you really have to be convinced that what you have is terrifically good and have the vision and the belief yourself, and then that starts opening the doors.
Well, it is, and you really have to, if you're not willing to take a lot of rejection, if you're trying to get your company capitalized, and that could include from a bank. I mean, a lot of times you go to a bank and you're credit worthy, but they don't like your idea. Well, you got to go to the next bank, don't you?
Exactly, Jim. There are many different types of banks in this country. And I've certainly been rejected by some banks and then accepted by others. So you take banks like Silicon Valley and many others who really bend over backwards to try to help entrepreneurs. And the interesting part is you can take some big banks, too, and you find that one manager says no, but you might find that a different part of the bank says yes. Mm-hmm. So you have to have, again, that continued inquiry and energy to keep opening doors.
One of the things that happened to me that was beneficial to me back in another life, probably close to 20 years ago, was I found myself in the investment banking industry, in the syndication side of the investment banking industry, and I learned how to structure deals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really beneficial to me. It really opened my eyes about how many different ways you can look at putting a deal together. And there really are so many ways to skin a cat. And what you got to think about, to me, I think you ought to think about it sort of like, the way you nourish yourself during the day. If you think about it, you get a little orange juice, and you have some coffee. Then you take a little food, and sometime during the day, you get a little water. You know, later on in the day, you eat a hamburger, and, you know, in the evening, you have some pasta or whatever. It's kind of like way in capitalizing your business. It's a mix of things, isn't it?
Well, I think part of that might be to have a bunch of bananas too, Jim. Don't you think?
Oh, there's no question. No, you got to throw a banana in there. Can you believe I didn't mention a banana in there somewhere? No question about it.
Yeah, but I do love your book because it's addressed to the emotions where most of us operate, and also it uses stories because I think that way we can visualize how we would operate ourselves in a particular venue.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do the same thing in when venture capitalists say no, to use stories of financing. So I can read a list of 20 or 25 principles like anybody else, but it's hard to remember that and put it into action.
Well, one of the points I'm glad you made that I wanted to make sure we got across, because there's a lot of books that have the how-to information. But the way you've written your book with the different examples, the different stories in there, it helps people. It resonates with them, I think, and it helps them to remember them, and it makes them. I think it helps people to internalize it a little bit better. The venture capitalists. I've inquired in some venture capital with some venture capitalists before. I've contacted some SBICs. We did, back several years ago, we just did a mailing out to several, we put a package together and sent a mailing out to several venture capitalists and small business investment corporations. We didn't do any good.
Your experience is like so many others.
Well, exactly. And of course, we kept going. But one of the problems I think I had was I was doing this in the 90s, and I had this weird thing. I was projecting a profit. I don't think they liked that, Ron.
I probably wouldn't believe it.
And I probably wasn't asking for enough money either. I was asking, I only asked for what I wanted. Excuse me. Take a quick break here, folks. 20 after, we'll be right back with our friend Ron Peterson, the author of When Venture Capitalists Say No. We're rocking with Joe Cocker and our good friend Ron Peterson. He's the author of When Venture Capitalists Say No, and that's what we're talking about. What do you do when you can't get the money, when you're having trouble getting the money? And,
well,
you know, Ron, it's actually pretty healthy for money not to be easy to get, isn't it?
I think so. In fact, some of the strongest companies in the whole country were developed during recessionary times, slow times. So we start the book with the Ford Motor Company because that was started in 1902, 1903, and that was a recession year as well. And that was by a failed businessman too, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
So
he failed many times, hadn't he?
Yeah, well, yes, he had. But he was a good engineer, and he had an exquisite idea. He worked out his entire business model. End to end. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs fail to do. They don't spend as much time on the marketing as they should. There was a company, when you're looking at different creative ways of getting capital, in Ukiah, California, known as Real Goods Trading, Jim. And it's an alternative energy supplier, and they needed some expansion capital. So what they did was a small stock offering. It doesn't cost a lot of money to do that at all. But what they noticed is that when they sold out that stock issue, their new shareholders bought goods from the company at a rate of as much as 300% more than the average client is.
So they not only did they get the investment capital, they picked up a whole new raft of customers, didn't they?
And it extended, Jim, because that was a free marketing group for them, because the new shareholders enthused about the company. They want to tell all their friends, and the friends became clients as well. Ukiah got so excited about that, they changed the minimum shareholder, from which was $1,500 in the first issue, to $500 in the second.
Wow.
Got the same issue and did a third stock offering, and then they took the minimum down to $75. I think, Jim, if they did a fourth offering, they'd give the stock away.
Well,
it is interesting. When
just
you put
from
it
a marketing
together.
Standpoint.
Yeah.
Well, what about how'd they do that? Tell us how they did that.
Well, they did a small stock offering through the state of California. And people think about IPOs, and it's a big deal with banks like Goldman Sachs or Merrill Lynch. But it's not. You don't need any of those things.
Are these Reg D's?
No, you can do what's called a Regulation A through the SEC for up to $5 million, an SB2 up to $25 million. And you can do these things for a song, because the SEC changed the rules some time ago. Most people think about an IPO as being horribly expensive,
right,
and necessary to float through a Wall Street investment firm. Well, Real Goods and hundreds of other companies didn't need any of those. You can get an offering through the SEC for relatively a very small amount of money.
Give us a number.
Oh, say $20,000 or $25,000,
okay,
and you've got a registered stock offer.
Right. Okay.
And
now, but,
companies do it less.
But now that's not a traded. That won't be a listed stock, right?
No, because the truth is, you know, it's not always an advantage to have a listed stock,
right,
for liquidity. Lots of folks aren't interested in the day-to-day quotations, or they buy a company because they think the future is going to be good and they want to hold on to the shares.
Right.
And Jim, if you see those shares decline because of a poor stock market, you start to wonder about your whole decision,
right,
or go up too expansively in a good one. Neither of them tells the truth. And you follow Warren Buffett's advice and Peter Lynch, the mutual fund guru, they both tell you to do the same thing in the markets. Find a company whose products or services you really like, buy shares and hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily want that liquidity.
All right. Walk us. We got a couple of minutes left to finish this point. Walk us through the steps. You got to contact. You need a law firm first, don't you?
Well, you should always have a lawyer for two reasons. One of which is to make sure that the things that you're doing are legal, and also protecting yourself. But the only legal input that you need for one of these small stock offerings is called an opinion of counsel, and that's a very inexpensive activity. Usually you need audited financial statements.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC, for instance, for Reg A, that's the one that allows up to a $5 million raise, doesn't even charge a filing fee.
Right.
They're behind you. The SEC lawyers and accountants are there to answer your questions, and they're good. They do this stuff all the time. They'll point out exactly what you need to do, and they try to hurry these things along at the same time. You just have to make sure that you follow the rules, which is full disclosure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. You don't operate – once you go into this arena, you don't operate in the caveat emptor world anymore. You operate in the world of full disclosure.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you can find yourself looking through bars.
What's the smallest amount you've ever seen anybody raise through a Reg A?
Well, there was one that was done for $110,000 in Mississippi that was a taco stand. But I should tell you, it's not a Reg A, but it's an S-1 done as a direct public offering.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Sam's Club sold their real estate to members, they did an offering of $71 million that, mm-hmm, they did themselves. And that's also a direct public offering.
Where would we start? I've got about 30 seconds. How would someone start this process?
Well, there's a kit. There's a wonderful book by Drew Field. It's called Direct Public Offerings. But otherwise, they should probably get into our book, When Venture Capitalists Say No, because we illustrate how these things work. Then we have a checklist of the kinds of things you needed at the same time.
Tell us where the book's available.
At my website, which is 3arrowscapital.com, and the 3 is spelled out, 3arrowscapital.com.
3arrowscapital.com, When Venture Capitalists Say No, by Ron Peterson. And we're going to get Ron back on real soon, and we've got more to talk about along these lines of capitalizing your business. Ron Peterson, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
When Venture Capitalists Say No, 3arrowscapital.com. Check it out. Quick break, right back with Leslie Fine. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.